To illustrate this, take your own donkey, now tied up in its stall. Even in regard to your own donkey, you abuse the possibilities given to you by our common creator. For if this donkey is compelled to stand unwillingly in your stable, it does so only because it was created two-brained. And it was created two-brained because that organization of its common presence is necessary for cosmic existence on the planet. And therefore, it is according to law that the possibility of logical mentation is lacking in your donkey's presence, and in consequence, according to law, that it should be what you call dull-witted or stupid. As for yourself, although you were created for this same purpose of cosmic existence on the planets, you were created also as a field of hope for our common all-gracious creator. In other words, with the possibility of coating in your presence that sacred greatness for whose arising the whole of our now existing world was created. Yet, in spite of the possibilities given you, that is, in spite of your having been created three-brained and thus capable of logical mentation, you do not use this sacred property for its preordained purpose, but manifest it as cunning toward his other creatures, such as, for example, your own donkey. Apart from the possibilities given you of consciously coating this greatness in your presence, your donkey has the same value for the common cosmic process, and consequently for our common creator, as yourself, since each of you is predestined for some definite purpose, and all these different purposes taken together constitute the meaning of everything existing. The only difference between you and your donkey lies in the form and quality of functioning of the internal and external organization of your common presence. For instance, you have only two legs, whereas your donkey has four, any one of which is immeasurably stronger than yours. Can you, on those two weak legs of yours, carry as much as that donkey can? Certainly not, because your legs were given you only for carrying yourself, and the little that is necessary for the normal existence of a three-brained being as foreseen by nature. This unequal distribution of power and strength, which at first sight may appear unjust on the part of our most just creator, was made by great nature solely because the surplus of cosmic substance is granted you by the foresight of the Creator and by nature, for the purpose of personal self-perfecting is not given to your donkey. But instead of this, great nature herself transforms this surplus of cosmic substance in the donkey's presence, without, of course, the donkey being aware of it, into the power and strength of certain of its organs for its present existence alone, thus enabling it to manifest that power incomparably better than you. And these manifestations of differing strength by beings of diverse forms constitute, in their totality, the exterior conditions that alone make it possible for three-brained beings like yourself consciously to perfect the germ of reason placed in their presence to the required gradation of pure objective reason. I repeat, all beings, large and small, of all brain systems without exception, existing on the earth, within the earth, in the air, or beneath the waters, all are equally necessary to our common creator for the common harmony of universal existence. And since all these forms of beings, taken as a whole, constitute the form of the process of universal existence required by our Creator, the essence of each being is equally dear and equally valuable to him. For our common Creator, all beings are only particles of the existence of one whole essence spiritualized by himself. But what do we see around us here? One of the forms of beings created by him, the very form in whose presence he has placed all his hopes for the future welfare of everything existing, taking advantage of its superiority to lord it over other forms, destroying their existence, right and left, and what is more, allegedly in his name. These monstrous and sacrilegious acts are committed in every house and on every square, yet it never enters the head of any of these unfortunates that these beings whose existence you and I are destroying are just as dear to him who created them as we ourselves, and that if he created those other forms of beings, it must also have been for some purpose. Having said all this to my friend, the priest Abdil, I went on. And the most deplorable thing is that every man who destroys the existence of other beings in honor of his revered idols does so with all his heart, convinced beyond any doubt that he's doing a good deed. If any one of them should become aware that in destroying the existence of another being is not only committing an evil deed against the true God and every true saint, but is even causing them, in their essence, sorrow and grief, that there should exist in the great universe such monsters made in the image of God, and who can manifest themselves so ruthlessly and without conscience toward other creatures of our common Father. I repeat, if any one of them should become aware of this, he would certainly agree with all his heart never again to destroy the existence of beings of other forms for sacrificial offerings. Then, perhaps on the earth, also there would be observed the 18th commandment of our common Creator. Love everything that breathes. Destroying the existence of his other creatures as an offering to God is just like vandals breaking into your house and wantonly destroying all the goods there that have taken you years to collect and cost you so much labor and suffering. Think. But I say again, think seriously. Picture to yourself what I've just said, and then tell me, would you like it? Would you thank the shameless vandal who broke into your house? No. A million times no. On the contrary, your whole being would be outraged. You would want to punish the scoundrel, and with every fiber of your psyche, you would try to find a means of revenge. You would no doubt reply that all this is true enough, and so on and so forth, but after all, I am only a man. Yes, indeed, you are only a man. It is fortunate that God is God and not vindictive and evil like man. Certainly, he will not punish you nor take revenge upon you, as you would have done to the vandal who destroyed the goods it had taken you years to collect. Goes without saying, God forgives everything. This was even become a law in the world. But his creatures, men in this case, should not abuse his all-gracious and everywhere penetrating goodness. It is their duty not only to watch over all that he has created, but also to maintain it. Yet here on earth men have divided beings of all other forms into clean and unclean. Tell me, what guided them when they made this division? Why, for instance, is a sheep clean and a lion unclean? Are they not equally beings? This also was invented by men. But why this invention? Why this distinction? Simply because the sheep is a weak being and moreover stupid. and they can do just what they like with it. But men call the lion unclean because they dare not do what they like with it. The lion is more intelligent and, above all, stronger than they are. Not only will the lion not allow itself to be destroyed, it will not even let you come near it. And if anyone should venture too close, this Mr. Lion would give him such a crack on the noodle that our hero's life would fly away to regions concerning which the less said the better. I repeat, a lion is unclean simply because men are afraid of it. It is 100 times stronger than they are, 100 times superior. A sheep is clean because it's much weaker, and as I said before, much more stupid. Every being, according to its nature and the gradation of reason attained by its ancestors and transmitted by heredity, occupies a definite place among beings of other forms. To clarify what I've just said, a good example is the difference between the presence, already definitely crystallized, of the psyche of your dog and your cat. You have only to pet your dog a little and get it used to anything you please, and it will become affectionate and obedient to the point of abasement. It will follow you around and cut every sort of caper just to please you. You can take liberties with it, beat it, be thoroughly mean to it. It will never turn on you, but only grovel still more at your feet. But try this sort of thing on your cat. Do you think it'll respond to these indignities as your dog did, and cut the same humble capers for your amusement? Never in the world. Even if the cat is not strong enough to retaliate at once, it will never forget how you treated it. Sooner or later, will get its revenge. There are stories of cats that have pounced on a man while he slept and bitten his throat. I can well believe it, knowing what the cat's reasons may have been. No, the cat will stand up for itself. It knows its own values. It is proud, and this is simply because it is a cat. And its nature is at that gradation of reason that belongs to it according to the merits of its ancestors. In any case, no being, not even a man, should be angry with a cat for this. Is it the cat's fault that it is a cat, and that owing to the merits of its ancestors, its presence occupies that gradation of self-consciousness? A cat must not be despised for this, nor beaten, nor humiliated. On the contrary, it should be given its due as occupying a higher rung on the ladder of the evolution of self-consciousness. By the way, my dear Hassin, on this subject of the mutual relations of beings, a former prophet from the planet Densogronskrad, the famous Arhunilo, now the assistant to the chief investigator of the whole universe on matters of objective morality, once said, "If a being is higher than you in reason, you should bow before him and try to initiate him in everything. But if he is lower than you, you should be just toward him, for you once occupied the same place, according to the sacred measure of reason of our Creator and All-Maintainer."